What I think is, if you get, I really cut as much as I possibly could, but it still, you know, I didn't cut enough, I think, for, you know, so forgive me for that. It didn't seem to just get cut any more than I could. And if you feel like stretching, don't hesitate. Get up and stretch and then sit back again, because that won't bother me. As a matter of fact, I'll think, oh, good. You know, at least they're not holding it back, thinking, oh, God, when are you going to stop? So, and then there is one place in here where it says, at this point, if you want to take an intermission, you can. So we'll take it 2 minutes. I generally give 1 minute intermissions.
You're so generous.
Okay. So let's see what happens here. This is the prologue to Mother Courage, a chronicle play of the 30 Years' War by Bertolt Brecht. English version, Eric Bentley. Prologue. Mother Courage sits on her wagon singing. Her dumb daughter, Catherine, sits behind her playing the mouth organ. The wagon is drawn by her two sons, Eilif and Swiss Cheese, who joins in the refrains. And they sing. Captains and colonels, cease your drumming. Let all your infantry be still. For courage in our wagon's coming, and she has got good boots to sell. These fellows never will adore you. Guns on their backs, lies in their hair. But since they'll soon be dying for you, right now they need good boots to wear. The spring is here, get out of bed. The snow melts fast, green buds arrive. You'll sleep forever when you're dead. But if you're not, then look alive. To die for you, your men are willing, but cannot fight unless they feed. And courage, no man's blood is spilling, just wine for souls and bodies need. Cannon is rough on empty bellies. First you should have them taste my fare. Then let them go and find where hell is, and take my blessing with them there. The spring is here, get out of bed. The snow melts fast, green buds arrive. You'll sleep forever when you're dead. But if you're not, then look alive. Scene 1. Spring 1624 in Dalarna, Sweden. King Gustavus Adolphus is recruiting for the campaign in Poland. The provisioner, Anna Feeling, known as Canteen Anna or Mother Courage, loses a son. These are announcements that in scenic design were to be up on a screen, and the screen would change with each scene, and the scene always announces all of the things that happen within that episode. A highway in the neighborhood of a town, a top sergeant and a recruiting officer stand shivering, the officer. How the hell can you line up a squadron in this place? Suppose I do get my hands on some character and squint at him so I don't notice he's chicken-breasted and has varicose veins. I get him drunk and relaxed, he signs on the dotted line. I pay for the drinks, he steps outside for a minute, I get a hunch I should follow him to the door, and am I right? Off he shot like a louse from a scratch. You can't take a man's word anymore, Sergeant. The sergeant says, what they could use around here is a good war. You know what the trouble with peace is? No organization. When do you get organization? In a war. How many horses they got in this town? How many young men? Nobody knows. They haven't bothered to count them. That's peace for you. I've been in places where they haven't had a war in 70 years, and you know what? The people can't remember their own names. They don't know who they are. It takes a war to fix all that. In a war, everyone registers, everybody's name is on a list, the shoes are stacked, the corn's in the bag, you count it all up, cattle, men, etc., and take it away. Yeah, that's the story. No organization, no war. It's the God's truth. Of course, war's like every real good deal, hard to get going. But when it's on the road, it's a pisser. Hey, look, a wagon, two women and a couple of young punks. Mother Courage enters with her three children, as in the prologue. Good day to you, Sergeant. The sergeant, good day, who do you think you are? Tradespeople? She prepares to go. Halt! Where are you riffraff from? The 2nd Protestant Regiment, says Eilif. Where are your papers? Mother Courage, papers? Swiss cheese. But this is Mother Courage. The sergeant says, never heard of her. Where'd she get a name like that? Mother Courage. They call me Mother Courage because I was afraid I'd be ruined. So I drove through the bombardment of Riga like a madwoman with 50 loaves of bread in my car. They were getting moldy. I didn't do it to please myself. No funny business. Where are your papers? Mother Courage rummages among a mass of papers in a tin box and gets down from her cot. Here, Sergeant, here's a whole Bible I got in L13 to wrap cucumbers in, and a map of Moravia. Oh, God knows if I'll ever get there. It's good enough for the cat if I don't. And here's a document to say my horse hasn't got hoof and mouth disease. Too bad he died on us. He cost me 15 guilders. Thank God I didn't pay it. Is that enough paper? Sergeant says, are you making a pass at me? You got to have a license, and you know it. Show a little respect for a lady, and don't go telling these grown children of mine I'm making a pass at you. It's not proper. What would I want with you? And the officer says to Mother Courage, you know what we need in the army? Mother Courage starts to reply, but he doesn't let her. Discipline! I'd have said Frankfurters. Name? Anna Fearling. So you're all Fearlings. What do you mean? I was talking about me. And I was talking about your children. Must they all have the same name? She indicates the elder son. This boy, for instance, his name is Eilif Noyaki, for the good reason his father always said his name was Koyaki or Moyaki. The boy remembers him to this day, only it's another one he remembers to this day, a Frenchman with a pointed beard. Anyhow, he certainly has his father's brains. That man would have the pants off a farmer's behind before he knew what had happened. So we all have our own names. You're all called something different. You're pretending you don't get it? He indicates Swiss cheese, the sergeant. He's Chinese, I suppose? Wrong again. A Swiss. After the Frenchman? Frenchman, I don't know any Frenchman. Don't confuse the issue, we'll be here all day. He's a Swiss, but he happens to be both Fios, a name that has nothing to do with his father, who was called something else. He was a military engineer, if you please, and a drunkard. Swiss cheese nods, beaming. And even Catherine is amused. Sergeant, how come his name's Fios? No harm meant. Sergeant, when he came, I was with a Hungarian. He didn't mind a bit. He had a floating kidney. Though he never touched a drop, he was a very honest man. The boy takes after him. But he isn't his father. I said he took after him. I call him Swiss cheese. Indicating her daughter. She's Catherine Haupt, half German. The sergeant says, a nice family, I must say. We've seen the whole world together, my wagon and me. We need all that in writing. The officer says to Eilif, and you two oxen pull the cart? Jacob Ox and Esau Ox? You ever get out of harness? Eilif says, can I smack him in the puss, mother? I'd like to. No, you can't. You stay where you are. And now, gentlemen, what about a fine pair of pistols or a belt? Yours is practically worn through, Sergeant. Sergeant says, I'm after something else. I see these boys as straight as birch trees. What are specimens like that doing out of the army, I'd like to know? Mother Courage says rapidly, it's no use, Sergeant. The soldier's life is not for sons of mine. Why not? It means money. It means fame. Peddling boots is woman's work. To Eilif, just step up here and let me see if that's muscle or chicken fat. Chicken fat! Give him a good hard look and he'll fall over and kill a calf while he's falling. He tries to hustle Eilif off. Will you let him alone? He's not for you. The officer says, he called my face a puss. That's an insult. Eilif says, don't worry, I can handle him, mother. You stay here, you troublemaker. Never happy unless you're in a fight. He has a knife in his boot, and he knows how to use it. Officer, I'll report you to the colonel. He'll throw you in jail. The lieutenant is courting my daughter. Take it easy, brother, he says to Mother Courage. What have you got against the service? Wasn't his father a soldier? Didn't he die a soldier's death? You said so yourself. Yes, he's dead, but this one's just a baby, and you'll lead him to the slaughter for me. I know you. You'll get 5 guilders for him, officer says. First thing you know, you'll have a new cap and knee boots. How about it? Not from you, thanks. Mother Courage says, come on, let's go fishing, said the angler to the worm, to Swiss cheese. Run and tell everybody they're trying to steal your brother, she draws a knife. Now try and steal him, and I'll let you have it. I'll cut you down like dogs using him in your war. We sell linen, we sell ham, we're peaceful people. The sergeant, give me that knife, you hag. You admit you live off the war? What else would you live off? Tell me, how can we have a war without soldiers? Do they have to be mine? So that's it. The war should swallow the pits and spit out the peach, huh? Call yourself Mother Courage and then get scared of the war, your breadwinner. Your sons aren't scared, I know that much. Eilif, no war can scare me. The soldier's life hasn't done me any harm, says the sergeant. I enlisted at 17. Mother Courage, you haven't reached 70. I will, though, above ground. Are you trying to rile me, telling me I'll die? Suppose it's the truth. Suppose I can see it's your fate. Suppose I know you're just a corpse on furlough. Swiss cheese. She had a second sight. Everybody says so. She can look into the future. Then go look into the sergeant's future. It might amuse him. Sergeant, I don't believe in that stuff. Your helmet. He gives her his helmet. Sergeant, anything for a laugh. Mother Courage takes a sheet of parchment and tears it in two pieces. Eilif, Swiss cheese, and Catherine. So should we all be torn asunder if we let ourselves be drawn too deep into the war. To the sergeant. For you, I'll make an exception and do it free. Death is black. I draw a black cross on this piece of paper. And the other she leaves blank, see? Then I fold them, put them in the helmet, and shuffle them up. Mixed up like we all are from our mother's womb on. And now you draw and find out the answer. Sergeant hesitates. The officer says to Eilif, I don't take just anybody. I'm particular. They all say so. And you're full of punch. I like that. The sergeant fishing into the helmet. That's a lot of bunk. Hogwash. Swiss cheese. Ah, he's drawn the black cross. His number's up. The officer says to Eilif, don't let them frighten you. There aren't enough bullets to go around. The sergeant says, You swindled me, Mother Courage. You swindled yourself the day you enlisted. And now we must drive on. There isn't a war every day in the week. We got to get to work. Hell and damnation, you're not getting away with this. We're taking that bastard of yours with us. We'll make a soldier of him. Olive says, I'd like that, Mother. Shut up, you finished devil, you. And Swiss cheese would like to be a soldier, too. Well, that's news to me. I see I'll have to draw lots for all three of you. She goes to the back to draw crosses on the slips. And the officer says to Eilif, people have been saying the Swedish soldier is religious. That's malicious gossip. I can't tell you how much damage it's done us. We only sing on Sunday, one verse of a hymn, and then only if you have a voice. Mother Courage returns with the slips and throws them into the sergeant's helmet. Run away from their mother, were they the devils, and off to war like a cat to cream? Just let me consult these slips. And they'll see the world's no promised land with its join-up son, your officer material. She thrusts the helmet at Eilif. There, take yours, Eilif. He does so. As he unfolds the paper, she snatches it from him. There you are, a cross. If he's a soldier, his number's up, that's for sure. The officer, still talking to Eilif. If you're wet in the pants, I can try your brother. Mother Courage says, now take yours, Swiss Juice. You're safer bet, because you're my good boy. He draws his lot, she takes it from him. A cross. Oh, Swiss cheese. There's no saving you either, unless you're a good boy, through and through every minute of every day. Just look, Sergeant. A black cross, isn't it? Another cross. Oh, I don't see why I got one. I always stay well in the rear. It can't be a trick. It gets your own children. Mother Courage says to Catherine. And now all I have left is you. You're a cross in yourself, but you have a kind heart. She holds the helmet up but takes the paper herself. Oh, I could give up in despair. I can't be right. I must have made a mistake. Don't be too kind, Catherine. Don't be too kind. There's a cross in your path. And then she breaks the mood. So, now you all know, always be very careful. And now we'll have to get in. And drive on, she climbs up onto the wagon. The officer says to the sergeant, do something. I don't feel so well. Try doing business with her. Hey, that belt, Sergeant, you could at least take a look at it. After all, they live by trade, don't they, these good people? Hey, you, the sergeant will buy the belt. Half a guilder, worth four times the price. Sergeant, well, there's too much wind here. Let's go look at it behind your wagon. It doesn't seem windy to me. Well, maybe it is worth half a guilder. There's silver on it. She follows him to the back of the wagon. A solid 6 ounces worth. Half a guilder, then. Come on, quick. Sergeant, I still don't see why I had to draw a cross. I told you, I always stay in the rear. It's the only place that's safe. You send the others on to win the laurels of victory or the glory of heroic defeat, as the case may be. You mustn't take on so here. Have a shot of brandy. And go right on staying in the rear. Give me the guilder. And the officer has taken Iliff by the arm and is drawing him upstage. 10 guilders in advance, and you're a soldier of the king, my lad, a stout fellow. The women will be mad about you. They leave. Catherine makes harsh noise. Coming, Catherine, coming. The sergeant's just paying his bill. She bites the money. To me, sergeant, all money is suspect, but your half guild is okay. Now we'll be off. Where's Iliff? Swiss cheese. Gone with the recruiting officer. Oh, simpleton. And to Catherine. And you could do nothing about it. You're dumb. Sergeant. Take a shot yourself, mother. That's how it goes. Your son's a soldier. He might do worse. Mother Courage motions Catherine down from the wagon. You must help your brother now, Catherine. And the brother and sister get into the harness together and pull the wagon, Mother Courage beside them. The sergeant, looking after them as they go off, recites to the audience, if from the war you'd like to borrow, remember, the debt must be paid tomorrow. Scene 2. In the years 1625 and 1626, Mother Courage journeys through Poland in the baggage train of the Swedish army. She meets her son again before Walhof Castle of the successful sale of a capon and great days for the brave son. It's the tent of the Swedish commander. Kitchen is next to it, the sound of cannon. The cook is quarreling with Mother Courage, who's trying to sell him a capon. The cook, 60 hellers for that paltry poultry? Paltry. But he's the fattest fowl you ever saw. I see no reason why I shouldn't get 60 hellers for him. 10 hellers a dozen on every street corner. Mother Courage, a capon like this on every street corner with a siege going on and people all skin and bones. Maybe you can get a field rat. I said maybe, because we're all out of them too. Didn't you see the soldiers running 5 deep after one hungry little field rat? All right then, in a siege, my price for a giant capon is 50 hellers. But we're not in a siege, said the cook. We're doing the besieging. It's the other side that's in a siege. Mother says, a fat lot of difference that makes. We don't have a thing to eat either. They took everything in the town with them before all this started. It's us I'm worried about. Look at the farmers around here. They haven't a thing. Sure they have. They hide it. They have not. They're ruined. They're so hungry I've seen them digging up roots to eat. And I'm supposed to let a capon go for 40 hellers. 30, not 40, I said 30 hellers. The cook takes up a piece of beef and lays his knife on it. Here's a piece of beef. I'm going to roast it. I give you one more chance. Roast it, go ahead, it's only 1 year old. 1 day old. Yesterday it was a cow, I saw it running around. In that case, it must have started stinking before it died. Cook says, I don't care if I have to cook it 5 hours. He cuts into it. Mother Courage, put a lot of pepper in. The Swedish commander, a chaplain, and Iliff enter the tent. They don't see Mother Courage and the cook. The commander clapping Iliff on the shoulder. In the commander's tent with you, Iliff, my son. You've played a hero's part, you happy warrior. Now, what would you like for dinner, my hearty? Iliff, how about a slice of meat? Nothing to eat, says the cook, so he brings company to eat it. Mother Courage makes him stop talking. She wants to listen. Mother Courage says, my dear God, it's my Iliff. Who? My eldest. It's 2 years since I saw him. He was stolen from me right off the street. Oh, he must be in high favor if the commander's invited him to dinner. You better take my advice. Buy the capon. The price is 1 guilder. The cook says, this is blackmail. Give me that damn thing. paltry like this? It's highway robbery. 50 hellas, I said one guilder. Nothing is too high for my eldest, the commander's guest of honor. Oh, I can't wait to see his face when he sees me. The commander is talking to her son. Have another glass, my son. It's worth it to meet a soldier that still believes in God. So now, I left my son, give us the details. Tell us how you fixed the peasants and grabbed the 20 bullocks. Well, it was like this. I found out that the peasants had hidden their oxen and on the sly, and chiefly at night, had driven them into a certain wood. The people from the town would have picked them up there. I let them get their oxen in peace. They ought to know better than me where they are, I said to myself. And meanwhile, I made my men crazy for meat. Their rations were short, and I made sure they got shorter. Commander says, smart kid, not bad. The rest was a snap. Only the peasants had clubs and outnumbered us 3-1 and made a murderous attack on us. Well, what did you do? I laughed. You what? I laughed. And so we got to talking. I came right down to business and said, 20 guilders an ox is too much. I bid 15 like I wanted to buy. That foxed him. So while they were scratching their heads, I reached for my good sword and cut them to pieces. Necessity knows no law, huh? You cut him to pieces, says the commander, in a good cause. Our fellows were hungry and you gave them to eat. Why, you should be presented to the king. Mother Courage has been listening and is now plucking angrily at the capon. She's plucking the feathers off. You must be a very bad commander, the cook says. Just a greedy one. Not bad. Why bad? Because he needs brave soldiers, that's why. If his plan of campaign was any good, why would he need brave soldiers? Wouldn't plain ordinary soldiers do? Whenever there are great virtues, it's a sure sign something's wrong. You mean it's a sure sign something's right? I mean what I say. Listen. When a king is a stupid king and leads his soldiers into a trap, they need this virtue of courage. When he's tight-fisted and hasn't enough soldiers, the few he does have need the heroism of Hercules, another virtue. And if he's a sloven and doesn't give a damn about anything, they have to fend for themselves and be wise as serpents or they're through. Loyalty is another virtue, and you need plenty of it if the king's always asking too much of you. But in a good country, the virtues wouldn't be necessary. Everything could be quite ordinary, middling, and for all I cared, everybody could be a coward. Then Eilif sings the song of the soldier boy. A chopper will chop and a cleaver will cleave. If you fall into ice, it will freeze you, etc. And Mother Courage takes up the song, beating time with her wooden spoon, and says, you are gone like the wind, but the cold stays behind, and all your great deeds will now warm us. How fast the wind flies, God preserve him alive. Pray the good woman for the soldier boy. And so the brave lad, with a knife at his side and his gun in his hand, was swept out by the tide and was lost in the waters enormous. Over the church tower, see the moon shining white, but the brave lad floats along with the ice and is lost in the waters enormous. Eilif has entered the kitchen, hearing his mother sing, embraces his mother. To see you again, where are the others? And she's in his arm. Happy as ducks in a pond, says she. Swiss cheese is paymaster with a second Protestant regiment, so at least he isn't in the fighting. I couldn't keep him out altogether. Are your feet holding up? I had a bit of trouble getting my shoes on in the morning. Eilif says, if I'm not the lucky one, you sit there in the kitchen and hear your son being feasted. Yeah, I heard all right, and she boxes him on the ear. Because I took the oxen? No! Because you didn't surrender when the four peasants let fly at you and try to make mincemeat of you. Didn't I teach you to take care of yourself, you finished devil? And the commander and the chaplain stand laughing in the doorway. Scene 3. Take a moment. You know what does... Sometimes I can't see where I made the cuts, so forgive me if you see me suddenly going. I'm really trying, you know, to do, as I said, as short a version as I can. Okay? Ready, set, go. Scene 3. 3 years pass, and Mother Courage, with parts of a Finnish regiment, is taken prisoner. Her daughter is saved, her wagon likewise, but her honest son dies. A camp. The regimental flag is flying from a pole. It's the afternoon. All sorts of wares hanging on the wagon. Mother Courage's clothesline is tied to the wagon at one end to a cannon at the other. She and Catherine are folding the wash on the cannon. At the same time, she is bargaining with an ordnance officer over a bag of bullets. Swiss Cheese, with a paymaster's uniform on, looks on. Yvette Potier, a very good-looking young person, is sewing at a colored hat, a glass of brandy before her. She's in stocking feet, and her red boots are nearby. The officer. I'm letting you have the bullets for 2 guilders, because I need the money, Mother Courage. They're army property. If they find them on me, I'll be court-martialed. You sell your bullets, you bastards, and send your men out to fight with nothing to shoot with. Oh, come on. I won't take army stuff. Not at that price. You can resell them for 5 guilders. Takes the bag. Give it here, she says to Catherine. Take it around the back and pay him 1.50 guilders. The officer protests. I said 1.50 guilders. Catherine drags the bag away. Mother Courage speaks to Swiss Cheese. Here's your underwear back. Take care of it. It's October now. Autumn may come at any time. I purposely don't say it must come. I learned from experience there's nothing that must come, not even the seasons. But your books must balance. Now you're the regimental paymaster. Do they balance? Yes, Mother. Don't forget, they made you paymaster because you're honest and so simple, you'd never think of running off with the cash. Don't lose that underwear. No, Mother, I'll put it under the mattress. He starts to go. Mother Courage says to Yvette, don't you know you shouldn't drink in the morning with your illness? Who says I'm ill? That's libel. They all say so. They're all liars. Oh, I'm desperate, Mother Courage. They all avoid me like a stinking fish because of those lies. So what am I fixing my hat for? And she throws her hat down. I should have stayed home when my first was unfaithful, but pride isn't for the likes of us. You eat dirt or down you go. Now don't start in again with your friend Peter and how it all happened in front of my innocent daughter. She's the one that should hear it, so she'll get hardened against love. Oh, it's something no one ever gets hardened against. He was an army cook, blonde, thin. Catherine, beware of thin men. I didn't even know he'd had another girl before me, and she called him Peter Piper, because he never took his pipe out of his mouth the whole time. It meant so little to him. She sings the song of fraternization. When I was hardly 17, the foe came to our land, and laying aside his saber, he gave me gently his right hand. First came the May Day light, then came the May Day night. The regiment, well organized, presented arms, then stood at ease, then took us off behind the trees, and there we fraternized. I made the mistake of running after him. I never found him. It's 10 years ago now. With swaying gait, she goes behind the wagon. You're leaving your hat for the birds. Mother Courage, let this be a lesson to you, Catherine. Never start anything with a soldier. Love is like a heavenly dove, so watch out. Now here comes the commander's cook. What's biting him? Enter the cook and the chaplain. The chaplain. I bring a message from your son, Eilif. The cook came with me. You've made quite an impression on him. What does Eilif want? I have no money to spare. Actually, I have something to tell his brother, the paymaster. He isn't here. And he isn't anywhere else either. He's not his brother's paymaster, and he's not going to lead him into temptation. She takes money from the purse at her belt. Give him this. It's a sin. He's speculating in mother love. He ought to be ashamed of himself. Cook says, not for long. He has to go with his regiment now, to his death maybe. Send some more money, or you'll be sorry. You women are hard, and sorry afterwards. The chaplain, a glass of brandy wouldn't cost very much. The chaplain, turning towards Catherine as he strolls around, says, who is this captivating young person? She's not a captivating young person. She's a respectable young person. The chaplain and the cook go with Mother Courage behind the cart for a drink. This is where I am. All right, okay. Catherine has begun to strut around with... This was my concern for cutting, and now, you know, I sort of lost my bearings. Catherine has begun to strut around with Yvette's hat on, copying Yvette's sexy walk. Suddenly, cannon and shots and drums Mother Courage, the cook, and the chaplain rush round to the front of the cart, the two last with glasses in their hands. Mother Courage, what's the matter? Let me get my wash off that gun, you slobs! And she tries to do so. An ordnance officer and a soldier were running to the cannon and trying to move it along. The Catholics, surprise attack, we don't know if we can get away. The officer says to the soldier, get that gun, and he runs off. The cook says, oh, I must go to the commander. Mother Courage, I'll be back in a day or two for a short conversation. He rushes off, Mother Courage, hey, you're leaving your pipe. Keep it for me, I'll need it. Ah, this would happen just when we were making money. Well, said the chaplain, I must be going too. Blessed are the peacemakers. Oh, if only I had a cloak. I'm lending no cloaks, not even to save a life, I'm not. I've had experience in that line. Chaplain, but I'm in special danger because of my religion. Mother Courage brings him a cloak. It's against my better judgment. Now run. Chaplain, oh, I thank you. You're very generous, but maybe I'd better stay here and sit. If I run, I might attract the enemy's attention. I might arouse suspicion. Mother Courage says to the soldier who's trying to push the cannon off, she says, let it alone, you dope. Who's going to pay you for nothing. And the sergeant, who's always patient with me, may be slowly beginning to ask, where on earth is Swiss cheese with that cash box? Mother Courage, be glad they're not on the scent. The chaplain, what about me? I can't hold service here. I'll be in hot water. Mother Courage, that's how it is. Here you sit, one with his religion, the other with his cash box. I don't know which is more dangerous. Chaplain, now, we're in God's hands now. I hope we're not as desperate as that. But it is hard to sleep at night. Of course, it would be easier if you weren't here, Swiss cheese. All the same, I've not done badly. When they question me, I always ask where I could buy holy candles a bit cheaper. You know, I know these things because Swiss cheese's father was a Catholic and made jokes about it. They didn't quite believe me, but they needed a canteen, so they winked an eye. Well, maybe it's all for the best. We're prisoners, but so are lice and fur. Chaplain. We are defeated. Mother Courage, who's defeated? The defeats and victories of the fellows at the top aren't always defeats and victories for the fellows at the bottom. Not at all. In general, both defeat and victory are a costly business for us that haven't got much. The best thing is for politics to kind of get stuck in the mud. Swiss cheese, eat. Swiss cheese, I don't like it. How will the sergeant pay his men? Soldiers in flight don't get paid. Swiss cheese, your sense of duty worries me. I brought you up to be honest because you're not very bright, but don't go too far. And now I'm going with a chaplain to buy a Catholic flag and some meat. A good thing they let me continue in business. In business, you just ask what price, not what religion. Protestant pants keep you just as warm. She disappears into the wagon. Chaplain, she is worried about the cash box. Up to now, they've ignored us as if we were part of the wagon, but can it last? Swiss cheese, I can get rid of it. Chaplain, oh, that's almost more dangerous. Suppose you're seen. They have spies. Yesterday morning, one jumped out of the very hole I was relieving myself in. I was so off guard, I almost broke out in prayer. That would have given me away, all right. I believe their fake way of finding a Protestant is smelling his excrement. The spy was a little brute with a bandage over one eye. Mother Courage clambering out of the wagon with a basket. I found you out, you shameless hussy! She holds up Yvette's red boots in triumph. Yvette's red boots! She just snitched them because you went and told her she was a captivating person. She lays them in the basket. Stealing Yvette's boots to Catherine. She disgraces herself for money. You do it for nothing, for pleasure. Save your proud peacock ways for pastime, miss. Chapman says, I don't find her proud. I like her when people say I never noticed the poor thing. I like her when she's a stone in Delano where there's nothing but stones. To Swiss cheese, leave the cash box where it is, do you hear? And pay attention to your sister, she needs it. Between the two of you, you'll be the death of me yet. I'd rather take care of a bag of fleas. She leaves with the chaplain. Catherine clears the dishes away. Swiss cheese, not many days more when you can sit in the sun in your shirt sleeves. Ah, yeah, the leaves are yellow already. With gestures, Catherine asks Swiss cheese if he wants to drink. I'm not drinking, I'm thinking, he says. She says she can't sleep. So I should take the cash box away. I found a place for it. I can keep it in the mole hole by the river till the time comes. Now, I might get it tonight before sunrise and take it to the regiment. Well, how far can they have fled in 3 days? The sergeant's eyes will pop out of his head. You disappointed me most pleasantly, Swiss cheese. He'll say, I trust you with a cash box, and you bring it back. Yes, Catherine, I will have a glass now. When Catherine reappears behind the wagon, two men confront her. One of them is a sergeant. The other doffs his hat and flourishes it in a showy greeting. He has a bandage over one eye. The man with the bandage, Good morning, young lady. Have you seen a staff officer from the 2nd Protestant Regiment? Terrified, Catherine runs away, spilling the brandy. The two men look at each other and then withdraw after seeing Swiss cheese. Swiss cheese has been reflecting all this time. Hey, you're spilling it. What's the matter with you? Can't you see where you're going? I don't understand you. Anyway, I must be off. I've decided it's the thing to do. He stands up. She does all she can to make him aware of the danger. He only pushes her away. I'd like to know what you mean. I know you mean well, poor thing. You just can't get it out. And don't trouble yourself about the brandy. I'll live to drink so much of it. What's one glass? He takes the cash box out of the wagon and puts it under his coat. I'll be right back, but don't hold me up or I'll have to scold you. Yes, I know you mean well. If only you could speak. She tries to hold him back, but he kisses her and pulls himself free. She is desperate and runs up and down, emitting little sounds. Mother Courage and the chaplain return. Catherine rushes at her mother. What is it? What is it? Catherine, control yourself. Has someone done something to you? Where is Swiss cheese? To the chaplain, don't stand around. Get that Catholic flag up. She takes a Catholic flag out of a basket, and the chaplain runs it up the pole. All good Catholics forever. And he pulls the Catholic flag up. Mother Courage, now Catherine, calm down. Tell all about it. Your mother understands. What? That little bastard of mine's taken the cash box away. Oh, boxes. Yes, for him, that stupid rascal. Now take your time. Don't try to talk. Use your hands. I don't like it when you howl like a dog. What'll the chaplain think of you? I see how shocked he looks. A man with one eye was here. Oh, the chaplain. That fellow with one eye is an informer. Have they caught Swiss cheese? Oh, this is the end. And the two men bring in Swiss cheese. Swiss cheese, hey, let me go. I've nothing on me. You're breaking my shoulder. I'm innocent. This is where he comes from. These are his friends. Us, says Mother Courage. Since when? We don't know him. Putting things in the basket. Swiss cheese, I don't know him. I was just getting my lunch here. 10 hellers it cost me. Maybe you saw me sitting on that bench. It was too salty. Sergeant, who are you people anyway? Mother Courage, law-abiding citizens. It's true what he says. He bought his lunch here and it was too salty. Are you pretending you don't know him? I can't know all of them, can I? I can't ask, what's your name? Are you a heathen? If they pay up, they're not heathens to me. Are you a heathen? Oh, no! He sat there, says the chaplain, like a law-abiding chap and never once opened his mouth except to eat, which is necessary. Sergeant, who do you think you are? Mother Courage, he's my barman. And you're thirsty, Sergeant. I'll bring you a glass of brandy. You must be footsore and weary. No brandy on duty. He says to Swiss cheese, you were carrying something. You must have hidden it by the river. We saw the bulge in your shirt. Mother Courage, sure it was him? Swiss cheese, I think you mean another fella. There was a fella with something under his shirt. I saw him. I'm the wrong man. Yeah, Mother Courage, I think so, too. It's a misunderstanding. Could happen to anyone. Oh, I know what people are like. I'm Mother Courage. You heard of me. Everyone knows about me. And I can tell you this. He looks honest. Sergeant, we're after the regimental cash box. And we know what the man looks like who's been keeping it. We've been looking for him for 2 days, and it's you. No, it's not. And if you don't shell out, you're dead. See, where is it? Mother Courage says to him. Looking at Swiss cheese, of course he'd give it to you to save his life. Hmm? He'd up and say, I do have it, huh? Here it is, you're stronger than me. He's not that stupid. Speak, little stupid. The sergeant's giving you a chance. Swiss cheese, what if I don't have it? Come with us, we'll get it out of you, and they take him off. Mother Courage, he'll tell you he's not that stupid. Leave his shoulder alone. She runs after them. Curtain falls. The same evening, the chaplain and Catherine are waiting. Mother Courage enters. It's life and death, but the sergeant will still listen to us. The only thing is he mustn't know it's our Swiss cheese, or they'll say we helped him. It's only a matter of money, but where can we get money? Wasn't he Yvette here? I met her on the way over. She picked up a colonel. Maybe he'll buy her a canteen business. Chaplain, you'd sell the wagon, everything? Where else would I get the money for the sergeant? Chaplain, what are you to live off? That's just it. Enter Yvette Potier with a hoary old colonel. Yvette embracing Mother Courage. Dear Mr. Courage, we meet again. He didn't say no. This is my friend, my business advisor. I happen to hear that you might like to sell your wagon. Due to special circumstances, I'd like to think about it. I want to pawn it, not sell it. And nothing hasty. In wartime, you don't find another wagon like that so easy. Only pawn it? I thought you wanted to sell it. I don't know if I'm interested. What do you think, my dear? Oh, I quite agree with you, honey bun. My friend says, all right. Write me out a receipt saying the wagon's mine when the 2 weeks are up, with everything in it. I'll just run through it all now. The 200 guilders can wait. To the colonel, you go ahead to the camp, dear. I'll follow. And I just want to go over the things. Mother Courage says, Yvette, there aren't many Yvette, this is no time to go through a wagon. Yours are not yours. You promised you'd talk to the sergeant about Swiss cheese. There isn't a minute to lose. He's up before the court-martial 1 hour from now. You hyena! Swiss cheese's life is at stake. Don't say who the money comes from. Pretend he's your sweetheart, for heaven's sake, or we'll all get it for helping him. Yvette, I arranged to meet One Eye in the bushes. He must be there by now. And Chaplain says, don't hand over all 200. 150 is sure to be enough. Mother Courage, thank you to keep your nose out of this. I'm not doing you out of your porridge. Now run, Yvette, and no haggling. Remember, his life is at stake. She pushes Yvette off. Chaplain, I didn't want to talk you into anything, but what are we going to live on? You have an unmarriageable daughter around your neck. I'm counting on that cash box, Mother. They'll pay his expenses out of it. You think she can work it? It's to her interest. I pay out the 200 and she gets the wagon. She knows what she's doing. She won't have her colonel on the string forever. Catherine, go and clean the knives. Use pumice stone to the chaplain. Don't you stand around like Jesus in Gethsemane. Get a move on, wash those glasses. I think they'll let us have him. Oh, thanks be to God, they're corruptible. They're not wolves, they're human, and after money, God is merciful. Men are bribable. That's how his will is done on earth as it is in heaven. Corruption is our only hope. As long as there's corruption, there'll be merciful judges. Even the innocent may get off. Yvette comes panting in. They'll do it for 200. If you make it snappy, these things change from 1 minute to the next. I better take One Eye to my colonel right now. He confessed he had the cash box. They put the front thumb screws on him, but he threw it in the river when he noticed them coming up behind him, so it's gone. Shall I run and get the money for... The cash box is gone? Well, how will I ever get my 200 back? Oh, so you thought you could get it from the cash box. I would have been sunk. Not a hope, Mother Courage. If you want your Swiss cheese, you'll have to pay. Or should I let the whole thing drop so you can keep your wagon? What can I do? I can't pay 200. You should have haggled with them. I must hold on to something, or any passerby can kick me in the ditch. Go and say I'll pay 120 or the deal's off. Even at that, I lose the wagon. With that, they won't do it. And anyhow, One Eye's in a hurry. He looks over his shoulder the whole time he's so worked up. Hadn't I better give him the whole 200? Mother Courage, I can't pay it. Been working 30 years. She's 25 and still no husband. I have her to think of. So leave me alone. I know what I'm doing. 120 or no deal. You know best. Out of courage, turns away and slowly walks a few paces to the rear. And she turns around and looks neither at the chaplain nor her daughter and sits down to help Catherine polish the knives. You'll have your brother back. I will pay 200 if I have to. With 80 guilders, we could pack a hamper with goods and begin over. It isn't the end of the world. Yvette comes running on. They won't do it. I warned you. He said the drums would roll any second now, and that's the sign the verdict has been pronounced. I offered 150. He didn't even shrug his shoulders. I could hardly get him to stay there while I came. Tell him I'll pay 200. Run. Yvette runs. Mother Courage sits silent. The chaplain has stopped doing the glasses. I believe I haggled too long. In the distance, a roll of drums. Chaplain stands up and walks towards the rear. Mother Courage remains seated. It grows dark. It gets light again. Courage has not moved. Yvette appears pale. Now you've done it with your haggling. You can keep the wagon now. He got 11 bullets, that's all. I don't know why I still bother about you. You don't deserve it. But I just happened to learn they don't think the cash box is really in the river. They suspect it's here. They think you're connected with him. I think they mean to bring him here to see you, to see if you give yourself away when you see him. I warn you not to know him, or we're in for it. And I better tell you straight, they're right behind me. Shall I keep Catherine away? Does she know? Well, maybe she never heard the drums or didn't understand. She knows. Bring her here. Yvette brings Catherine, who walks over to her mother and stands by her. Mother Courage takes her hand. Two men come on with a stretcher. There is a sheet on it and something underneath. Beside them, the sergeant. They pull the stretcher down. Here's a man we don't know the name of, but he has to be registered to keep the record straight. He bought a meal from you. Look at him. See if you know him. He pulls back the sheet. You know him? What? You never saw him before he took that meal? Lift him up, throw him on the junk heap. He has no one that knows him. they carry more. Scene 4. Mother Courage sings a song of the Great Capitulation. Outside an officer's tent, Mother Courage waits. A clerk looks out of the tent. Clerk, you want to speak to the captain? I know you. You had a Protestant paymaster with you. He was hiding out. Better make no complaint here. I will too, says Courage. I'm innocent, and if I give it up, it'll look like I have a bad conscience. They cut everything in my wagon to ribbons with their sabers and then claimed a fine of $5 for nothing, and less than nothing. For your own good, keep your trap shut. I'm going to lodge a complaint, as you wish, withdraws into the tent. A young soldier comes storming in. Screw the captain. Where is the son of a bitch? Come out, you thief. I was the only one in the squad who swam the river, and he grabs my money. I've done something special, and I want my reward. He's whoring on my money, and I'm hungry. Mother Courage says, I understand you're hungry. You're angry. I understand that, too. He says, the soldier says, I won't stand for injustice. Courage says, you're quite right. But for how long? How long won't you stand injustice for? 1 hour or two? You haven't asked yourself that, have you? And yet it's the main thing. You listen because you know I'm right. Your rage has calmed down already. It was a short rage, and you need a long rage, a long anger. Where would you find it? Young soldier, are you trying to say it's not right to ask for the money? Just the opposite. I only say your rage won't last. You'll get nowhere with it. It's a pity. If your rage was a long one, I'd urge you on. But what's the use if you don't slice him up because you feel your tail between your legs? You stand there and the captain lets you have it. The clerk looking out, the captain will be right out, in a tone of military command. Be seated. The young soldier sits. Mother Courage says, what did I tell you? They know us inside out. They know their business. Be seated and we sit. Oh, you needn't be embarrassed in front of me. I'm no better. We don't stick our necks out, do we? We're too well paid to keep them in. Let me tell you about the Great Capitulation. She sings the song of the Great Capitulation. I believed once I was something special. In the spring of life when I was young and free. Not like your ordinary run-of-the-mill girl with my looks and my talent and my love of higher things. And I bet and take the cook's hair out of my porridge. None was more particular than me. All or nothing, or anyway not the second best. I am the master of my fate. I'll take orders from no one. A starling sitting near pipe. Wait a year. And marching with a band you go. Just keeping stiff, not fast and slow. And toughing out your little tongue. Now here you come. But here your courage glides. You think that God guides. Therefore you are mine. And before the year was up and over, I had learned to take my medicine by the glass. 2 children around your neck and the price of bread and what all. And when they were through with me, when they were ready, they had me on my knees and on my ass. You must get in with people. One good turn deserves another. Don't stick your neck out. The starling sitting near pipe, not a year. And marching with a band she'd go, just keeping step, not fast, not slow. And puffing out her little tongue. Now here she comes. But here her courage glides. She thinks that God guides. Therefore she is mine. And so I think that you should stay here with your sword drawn if you're set on it. And your anger is big enough. You have good cause, I admit. But if your anger is a short one, you'd better go. Ah, shove it. He stumbles off. The clerk sticks his head out. The captain is here. You can lodge your complaint. Mother Courage. I thought better of it. I'm not complaining. She exits. Scene 5. 2 years have passed. The war covers wider and wider territory. Forever on the move, the little wagon crosses Poland, Moravia, Bavaria, Italy, and again Bavaria. 1631. Tilly's victory at Leipzig costs Mother Courage 4 shirts. Scene 6. Before the city of Ingolstadt in Bavaria, Mother Courage attends the funeral of a fallen commander, Tilly. Conversations take place about war heroes and the duration of the war. The chaplain complains that his talents are lying fallow, and Catherine gets the red boots. The year is 1632. Mm-hmm. The inside of a canteen tent, the inner side of a counter at the rear, rain in the distance, drums and funeral music. The chaplain and the regimental clerk are playing checkers. Mother Courage and her daughter are taking inventory. Mother Courage counting 17 leather belts into the chaplain. So you don't think the war might end, chaplain? Because a commander's dead, don't be childish. There are a dime a dozen. There are always heroes. Well, I wasn't asking just for the sake of argument. I was wondering if I should buy up a lot of supplies. They happen to be cheap right now, but if war ended, I might as well throw them away. Chaplain, I realize you are serious, Mother Courage, but there have always been people going around saying someday the war will end. I say you can't be sure the war will ever end. Of course, it may have to pause occasionally, for breath, as it were. It can even meet with an accident. Nothing on this earth is perfect. A war of which we could say it left nothing to be desired will probably never exist. A war can come to a sudden halt from unforeseen causes. You can't think of everything. A little oversight and the war's in a hole, and someone's got to pull it out again. That someone is the emperor or the king or the pope. They're such friends in need. The war has really nothing to worry about. It can look forward to a prosperous future. A clerk says, well, in the long run, you can't live without peace. Chaplain says, well, I'd say there's peace even in war. War has its islands of peace. For war satisfies all needs, even those of peace. Yes, yes, they're provided for, or the war couldn't keep going. In war, as in the very thick of peace, you can take a crap. And between one battle and the next, there's always a beer. And even on the march, you can catch a nap. On your elbow, maybe, in a gutter. Something can always be managed. Of course, you can't play cards during an attack, but neither can you while you're plowing the fields in peacetime. It's when the victories are won that there are possibilities. And can't you be fruitful and multiply in the very midst of slaughter, behind a barn or someplace? Nothing can keep you from it very long in any event. And so though the war has your offspring and can carry on. War is like love, it always finds a way. Why should it end? Catherine has stopped working. She stares at the chaplain. Mother Courage says, then I think I will buy those supplies. I'm relying on your information. Catherine suddenly bangs a basket of glasses down on the ground and runs out. Courage lies. Ah, Lord. Catherine's still going to wait for peace. I promised her she'll get a husband when it's peace time. Runs after her. Mother Courage returning with Catherine. Be sensible. The war will go on a bit longer. We'll make a bit more money. Then peace will be all the nicer. Now you go into town. There's not 10 minutes' walk. And bring the things from the Golden Lion. Just the more expensive ones. We'll get the rest later in the wagon. It's all arranged. Clerk will go with you. Most of the soldiers are at the funeral. Nothing can happen to you. Do a good job. Don't lose anything, Catherine. Think of your trousseau. Catherine ties a cloth around her head and leaves with the clerk. The chaplain, you don't mind her going with the clerk? She's not so pretty. Anyone would want to ruin her. She sits, takes a small pipe from her pocket and smokes it. Chaplain, you might chop me a bit of firewood. What's that little pipe you have there? Yeah, just a pipe. I think it's a very particular pipe. Oh, the cook's pipe, in fact. Our Swedish commander's cook. Well, if you know, why beat about the bush? I must give you a warning, Mother Courage. It's my duty. You are unlikely ever again to see the gentleman, but that's no pity. Mother Courage, that cook did not impress me as trustworthy. On the contrary. Really? He was such a nice man. Well, so that's what you call a nice man. I do not. Mother Courage, dear chaplain, be a sensible fellow. I like you. There's been a big cut. A chaplain sort of proposes to Mother Courage. I like you, and I don't want to heap coals of fire on your head. All I'm after is to bring me and my children through in that wagon. Now chop the firewood like a good fellow, and we'll be warm of an evening, which is quite a lot these days. What is that? What's that noise? She stands up. Catherine enters breathless with a nasty wound above her eye and brow. She's letting everything fall, parcels, leather goods, a drum. Catherine, what is it? Were you attacked on the way back? It's not serious. It's only a flesh wound. I'll bandage it up for you and you'll be better within a week. Well, didn't the clerk walk you back? That's because you're a good girl. He thought they'd leave you alone. No. The wound really isn't deep. It won't show. That's it. No, it's all bandaged. No, wait. I have something for you. I've been keeping it. Just you watch. And she digs into Yvette Potier's red boots out of a bag. Now, you see, Catherine is bleeding profusely. You see, you always wanted them, and now you have them. Put them on quick before I think twice about them. She helps her on with boots. It won't show at all. The boots kept well. I cleaned them good before I put them away. Catherine leaves the shoes and creeps into the wagon. The chaplain, when she's gone, I hope she won't be disfigured. There'll be a scar. Now she needn't wait for peace. She didn't let them get any of this stuff from her. Maybe I shouldn't have been so strict with her. If only I ever knew what went on inside her head. She picks up the things Catherine spilled and sorts them angrily. This is war, a nice sort of income to have. There are cannon shots. The chaplain, now they're lowering the commander in his grave, a historic moment. It's a historic moment to me when they hit my daughter over the eye. She's all but finished now. She'll get no husband, and she's so crazy for children. Even her dumbness comes from the war. A soldier stuck something in her mouth when she was little. I'll not see Swiss cheese again, and where my eyelet is, the good Lord knows. Curse the war! Scene 7, a highway. The chaplain and Catherine are pulling the wagon. It is dirty and neglected, though there are new goods hung around it. Mother Courage is walking beside the wagon and drinking heavily from a flask at her waist. I won't have my war all spoiled for me. It destroys the weak, does it, huh? What does peace do for us, huh? She sings a song. So cheer up, boys, the rose is fading. When victory comes, you may be dead. A war is just the same as trading, but not with cheese, with steel instead. The spring is here, get out of bed. The snow melts fast, green buds arrive. You'll sleep forever when you're dead. But if you're not, then look alive. And the wagon moves on. This is where the intermission comes.
Scene 8, 1632. In this same year, Gustavus Adolphus fell in the Battle of Lützen. The peace threatens Mother Courage with ruin. Her brave son performs one heroic deed too many and comes to a shameful end. A camp, a summer morning. Bells start ringing, voices from the rear. It's peace! The King of Sweden's killed. Mother Courage sticking her head out of the wagon. She hasn't even done her hair up yet. Bells, what are the bells for? Middle of the week? Chaplain crawling out from under the wagon. What's that they're shouting? It's peace! Peace! Mother Courage, don't tell me peace is broken out just when I've gone and bought all these supplies. A voice from a distance. Yes, the war stopped 3 weeks ago. Mother Courage back in the wagon. Catherine, it's peace. Put on your black dress. We're going to church. We owe it to Swiss cheese. Chaplain says, they're all getting together. Shall I put my pastor's clothes on again? Mother Courage, better get the exact news first and not risk being identified as the Antichrist. And the chaplain, and who may be this coming down from the cap? Well, if it isn't our Swedish commander's cook. The cook is somewhat bedraggled, carrying a bundle. Who's here? The chaplain. Mother Courage, you've got a visitor. Courage clambers out of the wagon. The cook, well, I promised I'd come over for a brief conversation as soon as I had time. I didn't forget your brandy, Mrs. Feeling. Mr. Lamp, the commander's cook after all these years. Where is Eilif? Isn't he here yet? Well, he went on ahead yesterday. He was on his way over. The chaplain, I will put my pastor's clothes on. He goes behind the wagon. Mother Courage, he may be here any minute then. She calls to the wagon. Catherine, Eilif's coming. Bring a glass of brandy for the cook, Catherine. Catherine doesn't come. Pull your hair over it and have done. The cook's no stranger. Oh, she won't come out. Peace is nothing to her. It was too long coming. Well, one more schnapps, cook. Dear old peace. And he and Mother Courage sit. Mother Courage, cook, come at a bad time. I'm ruined. What? That's terrible. The peace has broken my neck. On the chaplain's advice, I've gone and bought a lot of supplies. Now everybody's leaving and I'm holding the bag. Well, how could you ever listen to the chaplain if I had time? But the Catholics were too quick. I'd have warned you against him. He's a windbag. So now he's the big wheel around here. Well, he's been doing the dishes for me and helping with the wagon. Oh, bet he has. I bet he told you a few of his jokes. He has a most unhealthy attitude. Let's see. Mother Courage. Listen, have you all been paid? The cook says, no, not exactly. That's why we disbanded. In the circumstances, I thought, why stay for the time being? I'll look up a couple of friends, so here I am. In other words, you're broke. The cook, ah, it's about time they stopped that racket. The bells. I'd like to set myself up in some business. Oh, cook, it's a dog's life. The cook, as the chaplain turns up wearing his old costume, we'll discuss it. The chaplain, well, this coat's pretty good. It's just a few moth holes. The cook says, I don't know why you take the trouble. You won't find another job. Who could you incite now to earn an honorable wage or risk his life for a cause? Besides, I have a bone to pick with you. Have you? Says the chaplain. I have. You advised a lady to buy superfluous goods on the pretext that the war would never end. I'd like to know what business it is of yours. Chaplain, I had no idea, Mother Courage, you were such a close friend of this gentleman and had to account to him for everything. Now, don't get excited, Chaplain. Cook's just giving his personal opinion. You can't deny your war was a lemon. You mustn't take the name of peace in vain. Remember, you are a hyena of the battlefield. Of what? Cook says, if you insult my girlfriend, you'll have to reckon with me. I am not speaking to you. Your intentions are only too transparent to Mother Courage. But when I see you take peace between finger and thumb like a snotty old hanky, my humanity rebels. It shows that you want war, not peace, for what you get out of it. But don't forget the proverb, he who sups with the devil must use a long spoon, Mother Courage says. Remember what one fox said to the other that was caught in a trap? If you stay there, you're just asking for trouble. There isn't much love lost between me and the war. And when it comes to calling me a hyena, you and I part company. The chaplain, then why all this grumbling about the priest just as everyone's heaving a sigh of relief? Is it just for that junk in the wagon? My goods are not junk. I live off them. You live off war, exactly. The cook says to the chaplain, as a grown man, you should know better than to go around advising people. To Mother Courage, says the cook. Now, in your situation, you'd be smart to get rid of certain goods at once before the prices sink to zero. Get ready and get going. There isn't a moment to lose. That's sensible advice. I think I'll take it. He's right. I must get to market. She climbs into the wagon. The cook, taking his boots off and unwinding the wrappings on his feet. If you hadn't degenerated into a godless tramp, to the chaplain, you could easily be quite a success these days. Cooks won't be needed. There's nothing to cook, but there's still plenty to believe, and people will go right on believing it. The chaplain, cook, please don't drive me out. Since I became a tramp, I'm somewhat better man. I couldn't preach to him anymore, so where should I go? Yvette Potier enters, decked out in black, with a stick. She is much older, fatter, and heavily powdered. Behind her is a servant. Hello, everybody! Is this Mother Courage's establishment? Quite right, says the chaplain. With whom have we the pleasure? I am Madame Colonel Stahrenberg, good people. Where's Mother Courage? Chaplain, Madame Colonel Stahrenberg wants to speak with you. Coming! Yvette! Yvette! Just to see how you're getting on, the cook turns around in horror, and she looks at him. Yvette, Peter! Oh, my God, Yvette. And Yvette says, of all things, how did you get here? On a cart. The chaplain, you know each other? Intimately, I'll say, scrutinizing the cook. You're fat. The cook, for that matter, you're no beanpole. Anyway, Yvette says, nice meeting you, tramp. Now I can tell you what I think of you. Do tell them all, says the chaplain, but wait till Mother Courage comes out. No, Yvette, don't make a scene. Mother Courage comes out laden with Yvette, they embrace. Why are you in mourning? Doesn't it suit me? My husband, the colonel, died several years ago. The old fellow that nearly bought my wagon. No, not him. His older brother. Ah, it's good to see one person who got somewhere in the war. Chaplain, you promised to give us your opinion of this gentleman, the cook. Now, Yvette, don't make a stink. Mother Courage says, Yvette, he's a friend of mine. Yvette, he's Peter Piper, that's what. What? Cut the nicknames, the cook. My name's Lamp. Peter Piper, who turned the women's heads. Oh, I'll have to sit down. And I've been keeping your pipe for you and smoking it. Yvette, lucky I can warn you against him. He's a bad lot. You won't find a worse on the whole coast of Flanders. He's gotten more girls in trouble. Ah, the cook, that was a long time ago. It isn't true anymore. Stand up when you talk to a lady. Oh, how I loved that man. And all the time he was having a little bow-legged brunette. He got her in trouble too, of course. The cook says, I seem to have brought you luck. Shut your trap, you hoary ruin, and you take care, Mother Courage. This type is still dangerous, even in decay. Mother Courage says to Yvette, hey, come with me. I must get rid of the stuff before the prices fall. Yvette, concentrating on the cook. Miserable cur. Maybe you can help me at Army headquarters. You have contact. Damnable whore hunter. Catherine, church is all off. I have to go to market. When Eilif comes, give him something to drink. I've put an end to your tricks, Peter Piper. And one day, in a better life than this, the Lord God will reward me. Come, Mother Courage. Cook. Chaplain, the peace makes me sick. Oh, how I wish I was roasting a great big fat capon for the commander. What are you staring at? Chaplain is looking off and he sees it's Eilif. Followed by two soldiers, Eilif enters. His hands are fetid. He is white as chalk. What's happened to you, Eilif? Where's mother? Gone to town. They said she was here. I was allowed a last visit. The cook to the soldiers, where are you taking him? For a ride. The other soldier. Chaplain, what has he done? Soldier, he broke in on a peasant. The wife is dead. Eilif, how could you? It's no different. It's what I did before. Well, that was in wartime. Ah, shut your hole. Can I sit down till she comes? No. It's true. In wartime, they honored him for it. He sat at the commander's right hand. It was bravery then. Or couldn't we speak with the provost? Soldier, what's the use? Stealing cattle from a peasant, what's brave about that? It was just dumb. Eilif, if I'd been dumb, I'd have starved, smarty. Yeah, so you were bright and paid for it. At least we must bring Catherine out, let her alone. Just give me some brandy. No. What shall we tell your mother? Tell her it was no different. Tell her it was the same. Ah, tell her nothing. And the soldier's taken away. I'll come with you. I don't need a priest. You don't know yet. And he follows him. The cook. I'll have to tell him. She'll want to see him. Better tell her nothing. Or maybe just that he was here and he'll return, maybe tomorrow. Meantime, I'll be back and can break the news. The cook looks after him, shakes his head, then walks uneasily around. Finally, he approaches the wagon. Hi, won't you come out? You want to run away from the peace, don't you? Well, so do I. I'm the Swedish commander's cook, you remember me? I was wondering if you got anything to eat in there. Oh, we're waiting for your mother. I wouldn't mind a bit of bacon or even bread just to pass the time. She's got a blanket over her head. The thunder of cannon. Mother Courage running back, out of breath, still carrying the cook! The peace is over. The war is on again. Has been for 3 days. I didn't get rid of the stuff after all. Thank God. There's a shooting match in the town already with the Lutherans. We must get away with the wagon. Pack, Catherine! What's on your mind? What's the matter? Well, nothing. Well, there's something wrong. I see it in your face. Eilif was here, only he had to go away again. Eilif was here? Then we'll see him on the march. I'll be with our side as to how he looked. The same. Ah, he'll never change. And the war couldn't get him. He's bright. Help me with the packing, quick. She starts. Did he tell you anything? Is he in good with the captain? Did he tell you about his heroic deeds? Yeah, he's done one of them over again. Oh, tell me about it later. Catherine, the peace is all through. We're on the move again. What is biting you? I'll enlist. A good idea. Where's the chaplain? In the town with Eilif. Cook, stay with us for a while. I need a bit of help. Well, this Yvette thing, hasn't done you any harm at all in my eyes. Just the opposite. Where there's smoke, there's fire, they say. You'll come? I won't say no. Maybe I'll be seeing Eilif before the day is out. Just think. Well, it wasn't such a long piece. We can't grumble. Let's go! And they move on. See you now. The Holy War has lasted 16 years, and Germany has lost half of its inhabitants. Those who are spared in battle die by plague. Over once brilliant countryside, hunger rages, towns are burned down, wolves prowl the empty streets in the autumn of 1634. We find Mother Courage in the Fichtelgebirge, not far from the road that the Swedish army is taking. Winter has come early and is hard, business is bad, only begging remains. The cook receives a letter from Utrecht and is sent packing. In front of a half-ruined parsonage, early winter, a gray morning, gusts of wind. Mother Courage and the cook at the wagon in shabby clothes. They're begging in front of a house. He says there are no lights on, No one's up, and they start to talk. Cook says, I've had enough, Anna. I didn't tell you. A letter came from Utrecht. My mother died of cholera. The inn is mine. There's the letter, if you don't believe me. She reads, blank. I'm tired of wandering, too. I feel like a butcher's dog taking meat to the customers and getting none myself. Cook, the world's dying out. Mother Courage, sometimes I see myself driving through hell with this wagon and selling brimstone. Sometimes I'm driving through heaven handing out provisions to wandering souls. If only we could find a place where there's no shooting, me and my children, what's left of them, we might rest up for a while. Courage, we could open this inn together. Think about it. My mind's made up. With or without you, I'm leaving for Utrecht, and today at that. Well, I must talk to Catherine. It's sudden. Catherine emerges from the wagon. Catherine, I have something to tell you. The cook and I want to go to Utrecht. He's been left an inn. Now we'd be sure of our dinner, huh? Nice, huh? And you'd have a bed. What do you think of that? The dog's life on the road. You might be killed any time. Even now you're covered with life. We'll decide to go, huh, Catherine? Anna, I must have a word with you alone. Go back inside, Catherine. Good. I'm interrupting because there's a misunderstanding. Anna, I thought I wouldn't have to say it right out, but I see I must. If you're bringing her, it's all off. Catherine has her head out of the back of the wagon and is listening. They don't know she's hearing them. Mother Kurt, you mean I must leave Catherine behind? What do you think? There's no room at the inn. It's one of those places with three counters. If the two of us stand on our hind legs, we can earn a living. But there's too many. Let Catherine keep you... Well, I was thinking she might find a husband in Utrecht. With that scar, and as old as she is, not so loud. Loud or soft, but what is. There's another reason I can't have her at the inn. The customers wouldn't like it. Well, not so loud, I said. There's a light in the parsonage. Come on, we can sing now and beg. How could she pull the wagon by herself? The wall frightens her. She couldn't stand it. The inn is too small. And then they go, they sing the Song of Solomon in front of the house. He goes to get some soup that they offer in Mother Courage. Lamp, I couldn't swallow a thing. Was that your last word? Yes, Anna. Think it over. There's nothing to think over. Ah, you're going to be silly, but what can I do? I'm not inhuman. It's just the inn is a small one. Now we must go up there, or there'll be no soup here either, and we've been singing in the cold for nothing. I'll get Catherine. We'd better stick something in your pocket for her. If there are three of us, they won't like it. He goes. Catherine clambers out of the wagon with a bundle. She makes sure they're both gone. Then on a wagon wheel, she lays out a skirt of her mother's and a pair of the cook's pants, side by side and easy to see. She has just finished and has picked her bundle up when Mother Courage returns with a plate of soup. Catherine, stay where you are, Catherine. Where do you think you're going with that bundle? She examines it. She's packed her things. Were you listening? I told him there was nothing to him. He can have you drifting his lousy inn. What would we want with an inn? She sees the skirt and pants. Ah, you stupid girl, Catherine. What if I'd seen that and you were gone? Takes hold of Catherine, is trying to leave. Come on. Don't think I sent him packing on your account. It was the wagon. You can't cart us. I'm too used to it. You didn't come into it. It was the wagon. Now we're leaving. We'll put the cook's things here where he'll find him, the stupid man. She climbs up and throws a couple of things down to go with the pants. There. He's fired. The last man I'll take into this business. Now, come on. Let's you and me get going. Get into harness. The winter will pass. Like all the others, they harness themselves to the wagon, turn it around, and start out. A gust of wind, enter the cook still chewing. He sees his things. 10. On the highway. I'm suddenly going to leave this inn because I think we need it to move. Mother Courage and Catherine are pulling the wagon. They come to a prosperous farmhouse. Someone inside is singing very beautifully. And the song goes, it was a red rose that cheered us upon a fair rose tree. With sweet delight it filled us. In March the tree we planted, then not in vain was tended. How happy with our garden we. It was a red rose that cheered us. and all they're doing is holding a wagon like this and listening to this song, and they're in rags, gusty wind. When the north winds are blowing and bends the green fir tree, there's little to be fearing. A brave roof we have over us, its moss and straw, they cover us. How happy with our roof are we when the north winds are blowing. Mother Courage and Catherine have stopped to listen. Then they start out again. 11. January 1636. Catholic troops threaten a Protestant town in Hull. The stones begin to talk. Mother Courage loses her daughter and journeys onwards alone. The war is not yet near its end. The wagon is very far gone now and stands near a farmhouse with a straw roof. It is night. Out of the wood come a lieutenant and three soldiers in full armor. There mustn't be a sound if anyone yells, cutting down. The soldiers knock at the farmhouse door. An old peasant woman opens. A hand is clapped over her mouth. Two soldiers enter. Is this everyone that lives here? Well, that's our son, and that's a girl that can't talk. Her mother's in town buying up stocks because the shopkeepers are running away and selling cheap. They're canteen people. So I'm warning you, keep quiet. One sound and you have a sword in your ribs. I need someone to show us the path to town. You, peasant, you come here. Young peasant, I don't know any path. He doesn't know any path. I don't help Catholics. Show him your sword. He forces him to his knees, a sword at his throat. I'd rather die. He'd rather die. I know how to change his mind. He walks over to the cowshed. Two cows and a bull. Listen, you, if you're not going to be reasonable, I'll savor the cattle. Oh, not the cattle. Spare the cattle, Captain, or we'll starve. If he must... do I have to? The older peasant nods. I'll show you the way. Peasant woman, oh, thank you, Captain, for sparing us forever and ever. Amen. The man stops her, going on thanking her. I knew the bull came first, all right. What are you doing? The old peasant sets a ladder up against the roof and climbs up. I'm seeing if they're alone on the roof. He's looking out towards the town. Things are moving all over. I can see armor and a cannon. There must be more than a regiment. Oh, God, have mercy on all the town and all within. The peasant woman, are there lights in the town? No, they're all asleep. He climbs down. There'll be an attack. They'll all be slaughtered in their beds. The watchman will give warning. Peasant, well, they must have killed the watchman in the tower on the hill, or he'd have sounded his horn before this. Oh, if there were more of us. Well, peasant, but being that we're alone with that cripple, well, there's nothing we can do, is there? Nothing. We can't get down there in the dark. The whole hillside's swarming with them. You suppose we could give a sign and be cut down for it? Oh, no, there's nothing we can do. To Catherine, the peasant woman says, pray, poor thing, pray. There's nothing we can do to stop this bloodshed. So even if you can't talk, at least pray. He hears if no one else does. I'll help you. And they all kneel, Catherine behind. Our Father, which art in heaven, hear our prayer. Let not the town perish with all that lie therein asleep and fearing nothing. Wake them that they rise and go to the walls and see the foe that comes with fire and sword in the night down the hill and across the fields. God, protect our mother and make the watchman not sleep but wake ere it's too late, and save our son-in-law too. Oh God, he's there with his four children. Let them not perish. They're innocent. They know nothing. One of them's not 2 years old. The eldest is seven. Catherine hears all this and rises, troubled. Heavenly Father, hear us only. Thou canst help us, or we die, for we are weak and have no sword nor nothing. We cannot thrust our own strength, but only thine, O Lord. We are in thy hands. Our cattle, our farm, and the town too, we're all in thy hands. And the foe is nigh unto the walls with all his power. Catherine, unperceived, has crept off to the wagon, has taken something out of the wagon and put it under her skirt, and has climbed the ladder to the roof. Be mindful of the children in danger, especially the little ones. Be mindful of the old folk who cannot move, and of all Christian souls, O Lord. The old peasant says, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. Amen. Sitting on the roof, Catherine takes a drum from under her skirt and starts to beat it. The peasant,
Heavens, what is she doing? The old peasant, she's out of her mind. Bring her down quick. The old peasant, they stop praying. They run to the ladder. Catherine pulls it up on the roof. She'll get us in trouble. Stop it this minute, you silly cripple. The soldiers will come looking for stones. I'll stone you. Have you no pity? Don't you have a heart? We have relations there, too, four grandchildren. There's nothing we can do. If they find us now, it's the end. They'll stab us to death. Catherine is staring into the far distance toward the town. She goes on drumming, drumming, drumming. Peasant woman to the peasant. I told you not to let that riffraff on your farm. What do they care if we lose our cattle? The lieutenant running back with the soldiers. I'll cut you all to bits for this noise. Peasant woman. We're innocent, sir. There's nothing we can do. She did it, a stranger. Where's the ladder? On the roof. Throw down the drum, I order you. You're all in this, or you won't live to tell the tale. Peasant, they've been cutting down fir trees around here. If we bring a tall enough trunk, we can knock her off the roof. I beg leave to make a suggestion. He whispers something to the lieutenant, who nods to Catherine. Listen, you, we have an idea for your own good. Come on down and go with us to the town. Show us your mother, and we'll spare her. Catherine replies with more drumming. The lieutenant pushing him away. She doesn't trust you, no wonder, with your face. The lieutenant calls up to Catherine. Hey, you, suppose I give you my word. I'm an officer. My word's my bond. Catherine again replies with drumming, harder this time. Nothing is sacred to her. The first soldier, this can't go on. They'll sure as hell hear it in the town. We must make another noise with something. Chop, start chopping wood. Chop harder. Chop for your life. It's not enough. You chop too. I've only one axe. We must set fire to the farm, smoke her out. That's no good, Captain. When they see fire from the town, they'll know everything. Catherine is laughing now and drumming harder than ever. She's laughing at her. That's too much. I'll have her guts if it's the last thing I do. Bring a musket. I have it, Captain, says the peasant woman. That's their wagon over there, Captain. Smash that. She'll stop. It's all they have in the world, Captain. Smash the wagon. If you don't stop that noise, we'll smash your wagon. The young peasant deals the wagon a couple of feeble blows with a board. The peasant woman to Catherine. Stop it, you little beast. Catherine stares at the wagon, pauses, and the noise of distress come out of her. She goes on drumming, drumming. Where are those sons of bitches with that gun? I'll give you one more chance. Throw down that drum. A young peasant dropping the board, screaming to Catherine, don't stop now. Go on, go on, go on. A soldier knocks him down and stabs him. Catherine starts crying, but goes on drumming. Not in the back. Don't stab him. In the back. You're killing him. The soldiers arrive with a gun. Set it up. Calling while the gun is set up on folks. Once and for all, stop that drumming. Still crying. Catherine is drumming as hard as she can. Fire! The soldiers fire. Catherine is hit. She gives the drum another feeble beat or two and then collapses. That's an end to the noise. But the last beats of the drum are lost in the din of cannon from the town, mingled with the thunder of cannon. Alarm bells are heard in the distance. The first soldier. She made it. Scene 12. Toward morning, the drums and pipes of troops on the march, receding. In front of the wagon, Mother Courage sits by Catherine's body. The peasants of the last scene are standing near. The peasants, you must leave. There's only one regiment to go. You can never get away by yourself. Courage. Maybe she's asleep. Lullaby, baby, what's that in the hay? The maple chimes cry, but mine is gay. Neighbor child's in tatters, but silk is your dew. In the robe of an angel, made over for you. Not a crust has the neighbor's child. You have a cake. If it's too stale for you, pray to put sleep. Lullaby, baby, what's rustling there? Neighbor child's in hope. Mine, who knows where? Shouldn't have told her about the children. If you hadn't gone off to town to get your cut, maybe it wouldn't have happened.
glad she went to sleep. She's not asleep. It's time you realized. She's through. You must get away. There are wolves in these parts, and the bandits are worse. Yeah, that's right. Have you no one, though? That's my son. I live. We'll find him, then. Leave her to us. We'll give her a proper burial. You need... Here's a little money for expenses. She harnesses herself to the wagon. I hope I can pull the wagon by myself. Yes, I'll manage. There's not much in it, no. Another regiment passes with pipe and drum. Hey! Take me with you! She starts pulling the wagon. The chorus is heard. With all its luck, with all its danger, the war moves slowly across the plains. The war 100 years can linger. The common soldier nothing gains. His food is filth. His coat he plunders, the regiment takes half his pay. But there is always time for wonders. The campaign will not end today. The spring is here, get out of bed. The snow melts fast, green buds arise. You'll sleep forever when you're dead. But if you're not, then look alive. While the singing is going on, the stage is completely bare as before. And this time Mother Courage is quite alone. The wagon, though empty, is sometimes too much for her and sways dangerously. Slowly toiling round the periphery of the stage, Courage seems lost in space. She does not sing. The turntable does not change.